Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, news and views with a Lone Star perspective. You can sound off during the show by sending Chad a text at 806-680-2790. That's 806-680-2790. Or call in at 1-800-687-0790. Now, here's Chad Hasty.
Good evening, Lubbock, Amarillo, Abilene, Wichita Falls, Midland, Odessa, Dallas, Fort Worth, down in Houston, over in El Paso, and anywhere else, inside or outside the great state of Texas, wherever you may be listening. On this Wednesday, January 14th, we welcome you in to the Chad Hasty Show. Glad to have you with us. It's going to be a busy, busy show today. As coming up at 5:35, Lubbock County Judge Curtis Parrish will join us to discuss his reelection campaign. We've got Scott Braddock, who will join the show at 6:05 as we get caught up to date with everything making headlines in the political world across the Lone Star State. And joining us right now on the phones, we kick things off early on the program today with the senior senator from the great state of Texas. It's Senator John Cornyn. Good evening, Senator. Welcome back to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Chad. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure having you on the program, and appreciate you taking some time to join us today. I guess there's a whole lot of places we could start off, but I guess let's start off with one of the stories just making news all over the world, and that is the protest in Iran and what the U.S. may or may not do. There's rumblings out there, I guess, about possible U.S. Intervention in Iran to help out the protesters. What is actually happening in Iran? Can you kind of clarify to our folks what's going on and whether or not the U.S. should get involved? I mean, we've seen these protests before, and the U.S. has not really done much to go in and help the protesters.
Yeah, remember in 1979 they had the supreme leader and the Islamic terrorist state take over Iran, and they've controlled it ever since. And Iran is the number one state sponsor of international terrorism, mainly operating through its proxies. Most recently, we've seen Hamas in Gaza, and of course Hezbollah. And then the Houthis, and this is the way Iran operates. And I have to say that, you know, when President Trump had the courage to do something no other president's done, which is to knock out their nuclear program, and the Biden administration apparently was just going to sit there and watch them get a nuclear weapon, which would transform the Middle East and make the world a very much more dangerous place. So it's encouraging to see the citizens there in Iran rise up and protest the government, and of course many of them have been killed. This is a police state where they do is use repression to prevent the people from choosing their own leaders and protesting their government. But I know that President Trump is being presented with a number of options. We don't know exactly what option he will choose. But I'm encouraged to see that he's not going to leave the Iranian people who were risking their lives high and dry like President Obama did. As you mentioned, when this has happened before, all they've heard is rhetoric and no real action. And President Trump, I think we've seen, is a man of action.
You recently, just I guess it was yesterday, you were taking a tour with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, taking a tour of some of our great military. Tell folks about that, and just also your thoughts. I mean, we haven't even visited since what went down in Venezuela. I mean, there's a lot of action going on around the world, and it shows just how impressive the U.S. is.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Well, Monday morning early, we had the chance to visit with three of the brave soldiers who executed this arrest warrant for President Maduro, and of course he was then taken to appear in a federal court where he'd been indicted years ago for drug offenses and other related offenses. and incredible execution of this extraction of this terrible, illegitimate president of Venezuela, and somebody who's tied not only to narco trafficking, but also to other countries who wish us harm. So I had a chance to visit with three of them and thank them for their service. Then we went to Lockheed Martin, which is the manufacturer of the F-35, the fifth generation Joint Strike Fighter, which allowed our folks to get in and out of Iran before the Iranian Revolutionary Guard even knew that we were there. And of course, they were very instrumental in the operation in Venezuela as well, because of the dangerous air defense systems that they needed to basically suppress that in order to get these special operators in there to pull Maduro and his wife out. So we had a good day. We ended at Starbase, I should say. He used to call it Boca Chica, outside of Brownsville. But Elon Musk, of course, has done incredible work building SpaceX, which is the most important space company in the world and carries the vast majority of payloads, both civilian and military, into space. So it was a great day, and I'm really glad to hear the Secretary of War talk about the importance of developing and expanding our defense industrial base, because we're not ready now. And the goal is, of course, to get ready, not just to fight wars. Hopefully we won't have to do that, but the best way not to have to fight a war is by deterring our adversaries. And that's peace through strength, as you've heard President Trump say.
Yeah. Visiting with Senator John Cornyn here on the Chad Eastie Show. Today you're able to chair the hearing on the Afghan parolee program. Can you update our listeners on that?
Yeah, you recall after this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan by the Biden administration, it was complete chaos. They basically, under the pretense of bringing in interpreters and others who helped the United States fight the Taliban in Afghanistan, basically had an uncontrolled exodus of individuals from Afghanistan into the country, and using, or I should say abusing, an authority that the president claimed he had, that he used also on the southern border. It's called parole, which is supposed to be done on an individual basis, but of course he did mass paroles across the southern border, allowing millions of people across the border from all around the world. But in this case, the Afghans were a subset of that. And of course, most of the public's attention was focused on the attack of one of these parolees of a National Guard soldier, Sarah Bergstrom, in Washington, D.C., unfortunately taking her life and injuring that of her fellow National Guardsmen. So we were there to document and to expose the failure to do basic public safety and vetting measures, which has created a dangerous situation for the American people. And now we have to get about fixing that. President Trump has put all of this on hold, pending the adequate documented vetting of these foreign nationals coming into the country.
Yeah. Senator, a few weeks ago, it was probably more than a few weeks ago, you and I were talking about in endorsements, and you had sounded pretty hopeful that President Trump was going to endorse your reelection campaign. Politico is reporting today that Trump has no plans to endorse in three races, including in your race in the primary. And I know it's something that you had talked about publicly, that you were hoping to get the endorsement of the president. Now, of course, the president can change his mind at any second. He could tweet out here in about 30 seconds that he's going to endorse you. But Politico at least reporting that there's not going to be an endorsement. Does that disappoint you? Is that bad for your campaign? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, leading up to the March 3rd primary, Chad, we'll see Wesley Hunt dropping out. He's going to be the low vote getter in that primary. And then, of course, the Attorney General and I will have to duke it out for about 10 more weeks until May the 26th for the runoff. But President Trump is obviously not prepared to make an endorsement. I don't know whether he will see fit to do so after March the 3rd. But as I told you before, we're not waiting around. We got the pedal to the metal and are working hard to try to earn the support of Texas Republican primary voters. But you're right. He could change his mind in a nanosecond. But right now, that's where he is.
So your campaign is preparing for a runoff?
Yes. Yeah, I think, I'd love to tell you I'm going to get 50% plus one on March the 3rd. And, of course, miracles do happen. But with three of us in the race, I think it's going to be likely a runoff on May the 26th. By the way, we, of course, have a lot of contested races from the Attorney General to Comptroller, General Land Office, to all these congressional seats, these new congressional seats. So I think there's going to be a lot of races on the ballot on May the 26th, because obviously with multiple people in these races, any one person getting above 50% is a long shot.
For the voters who are out there, and maybe they're on the fence between you and Ken Paxton, what is the message you want to send to those voters? Why should they entrust this seat again to you?
Well, I believe that, and we've talked about this before, I believe that character matters. Ken has been dishonest with the taxpayers, with his own staff, who turned him into the FBI in a whistleblower case for interfering with a criminal investigation of one of his big donors. And he's been dishonest with his family. And I certainly get no joy out of that at all. But if those folks can't trust Ken, I don't think the voters can trust Ken. People know me. I think I've developed a great relationship with not only the people I work with on a daily basis, but the people who I represent, 32 million Texans. And I think I've been proven to be effective. A new member of the Senate will not be able to do that anytime soon. Plus, in 2020, I won by 10 points in the general election. So I think I can help a lot of down ballot races in the general election win a lot of those races. And of course, I've made that point to President Trump, and he's taken that into consideration. But I think the bottom line is that character matters. And I think it's going to be demonstrated in the vote on March the 3rd and on May the 26th.
All right, very good. Senator John Cornyn, always appreciate your time. Always good to visit with you. And we'll visit again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you. That's Senator John Cornyn here on the Chad HD Show. Always good to hear from him. Primary season is heating up. I don't know, I think he's a little bit disappointed that Trump's not going to endorse in that race. A little bit. A little bit. We'll talk about that and more when we come back on the Chad HD Show. I make it do a
handstand. The Chad Hastie Show can be heard all over West Texas. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Tune in to News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO in Lubbock. News Talk 940 in Amarillo. News Talk 94.7 and 1470 KYYW in Abilene. And in Wichita Falls on News Talk 96.3 and 1290. The Chad Hastie Show. Make it a part of your drive home. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute.
All right, back on the Chad HD Show. Thanks again to Senator John Cornyn for joining the program. So one of the big stories today, at least in that Senate race and two others, the president has no plans to endorse in just three Senate races when it comes to Republican primaries. That's pretty big. Politico reporting there are three sitting Republican senators that President Trump has not endorsed for re-election, and he has no imminent plans to change that. Trump last week called for the electoral defeat of Senator Susan Collins of Maine and four other GOP senators who had backed a procedural vote to curb his military powers in Venezuela. Trump has no plans to endorse against her and is in no hurry to weigh in on the Texas and Louisiana GOP primaries, according to four people familiar with the White House's thinking and granted anonymity to share it. Senator John Cornyn of Texas, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana have both expressed hope for an endorsement in their races. The strategy behind not endorsing in the three races is that Trump may still need their votes in the Senate, and the White House is invested in keeping a Republican majority, even if it's an imperfect one. That, according to three of those people, that the president can change his mind and support a candidate via social media at a moment's notice. I mean, we all know that, but Trump is, yeah, he's right now he's not going to endorse anybody, but tomorrow things could change. Quote, it's math and the fear of mutually assured destruction, one of the four people said. The president doesn't end their careers and the senators don't end his congressional agenda. Ooh, that's not good. If I'm Team Paxton or Team Hunt, I'm getting that line out there. That no, this isn't a president who is just torn between candidates. It's that, well, he's not going to end Cornyn's political career, but he kind of might be. You know, sometimes not saying anything is saying a lot more than actually saying something, right? Staying quiet. It's actually saying something pretty loud. It's a loud statement when you just stay quiet on a radio. If you're a sitting president, if you're John Cornyn, I'm sure his campaign is looking around and going, what do we have to do? We've taken pictures with our guy holding a Trump book. He's groveled to Trump. I mean, if you're Team Cornyn, you got to be looking around going, what do we have to do? You wanted loyalty. Our guy's been loyal to you. But then you look, hey, guess who else has been loyal to Donald Trump? Ken Paxton's been loyal to Donald Trump. Wesley Hunt has been loyal to Donald Trump. So if you're Donald Trump, it's not like you have bad candidates to choose from here. I mean, these guys, they're all going to be on your side when you're in office. And that's what Trump wants. They're all going to be on his side. He knows that. There's not one of these guys who's in the Republican primary who's going to get elected and go to D.C. and be an anti-Trumper. That's not going to happen. But if you are the Cornyn campaign, it's got to be a little bit of a gut punch not to get the endorsement of Donald Trump. Because you can't get out there and say, we're the Trump campaign. We're Trump approved. You could say our candidate has voted with Trump 99% of the time. Our candidate has done this. If you're the Cornyn campaign, I would remind you that what voters are apprehensive or just don't like about John Cornyn is when Trump's not in office. That's what they worry about, is the senator you get when Trump is not there. I know I've said that. There have been others who have said that as well. You look at many in the Republican Senate and even in the House. And Trump has made them better and made them better fighters. but eventually Trump's not going to be in the White House. And so, Cornyn, he continues to rely on this. Well, values matter. Your home life matters. Being nice matters. Does it? You should be a good guy. You shouldn't cheat on your wife. You shouldn't step out on your wife. But that would have cost you a gig back during the Bush era. Early 2000s, if you would have cheated on your wife, yeah, your campaign's probably done. In 2026? Not really. Things have changed. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying things have changed. When we come back, Lubbock County Judge Curtis Parrish, he's in the studio. We'll be right back.
Call in to the Chad Hasty Show at 1-800-687-0790. The Chad Hasty Show, broadcasting on the Texas Town Square Media Network.
You've got a life to live, and you don't want to miss out on any of it. That's why the first thing you do when you get in a car is buckle your seatbelt. Whether you're a driver or a passenger, not wearing your seatbelt could get you a ticket, a fine, or worse. Nobody wants that. So remember, if you love it, click it. Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.com.
Don't forget about Chad. Find Chad on social media at Chad Hasty Radio on X and Instagram. It's the Chad Hasty Show.
And welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show. Appreciate you being out there. The show rolls on with more candidates running for office. We'll get to your text messages coming up in the next hour. We will have Scott Braddock joining us at 6:05. If you missed the interview with Senator John Cornyn, you can go back to the podcast and listen to that. Now in studio, we have Lubbock County Judge Curtis Parrish running
Good
again
afternoon.
In the
yes.
Republican primary for re-election for Lubbock County Judge. Welcome back. Good to see you.
It's good to be back. This almost feels like an old home week over
yeah.
here. It's nice to be back in the building.
Well, good, good. It's glad to have you. Let's get right into it. Obviously, you're running for re-election. Did you take any time at all to go, do I want to run for re-election, or was it just kind of a natural, yeah, I'm running for re-election?
No, there was no doubt about this. We've done a lot. I mean, if you think about how the county was and the shape the county was in when we were elected now 7 years ago, it'll be 8 years that I've been in office. We've done a lot, and we've still got things to do, and so we've got to get set up and got to get this county ready because, you know, we're growing. I mean, you can't drive around to see how we're growing.
Yeah.
The Texas demographer says we'll be 500,000 people in Lubbock County within the next 25 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now we're at 330,000 people. We've got to make sure that our infrastructure is ready, that our courts are ready, that our jail is ready, that our courthouse is ready, that our roads are ready. We've got to make sure that this county is ready for that growth. I don't want to turn around in 25 years from now and look like Travis County, look like Austin. They weren't ready. Mm-hmm. We're going to be ready.
Is that the when it comes to disagreement over raising taxes, mm-hmm. staying with the no new revenue rate, is that the core maybe disagreement between you and maybe some of the others who don't want to go above that no new revenue rate? Is it that you're looking ahead and they're not? Where's that battle? Why is that a battle between the two?
Yeah, I would think, Chad, that is kind of the core issue here. You know, that it used to be, and you know this, under the effective tax rate, when we were under that, you could still get the growth money from all the new rooftops around here. But when the legislature flipped everything and redid the formula and created this no new revenue rate, that means that we don't get no new revenue. So whatever we received from tax receipts the year before is the same amount that we are to receive this year. So we don't get growth. So now we are 2 years without getting that growth. And I'll say, well, you know, it's what the taxpayers want. Well, but, you know, the taxpayers have voted for a bond increase in 2019. They voted for an increase in the tax rate in 2021 for the Sheriff's Department, and they voted for an increase in the tax rate in 2023 for the ME's office. And all of that is not being voted on by some members of our court. They're going against the taxpayers. The taxpayers have voted and have been very clear that we want good government for our county. I want to make sure that we have good government, and I want to make sure that we are getting ourselves set up. I don't want to go backwards. The no new revenue rate makes us go backwards. And I know we've got inflation, we've got other costs, but you know, the difference and what I've always proposed and from my first year in office, I've always proposed, let's just leave the tax rate the same. The only time I have ever voted for a tax rate increase was in 2021, when we decided to go to the voters and ask for them to come beside us to raise the tax rate we talked a lot about that, for the Sheriff's Department. That's the only time I've ever voted for a tax increase. The only time. But if we just adopt the same tax rate every year, then we get that natural growth, and we can put it into the growth areas that we have in our roads, in our Sheriff's Department, in our court system. Our court system is growing. We've got a demand of roads. I've got a jail that's going to need some TLC in the next few years because we've outgrown it.
What does that mean? What does that mean, TLC?
Well, some tender loving care because.
Well, I know but how much? Like,
well, how much is yet?
Are we talking paint? Or are we talking addition?
Well, we're talking things like a new roof. We're talking about things like maybe even restructuring some of the pods that we have, or maybe just building a brand new pod. All of that, though, the stuff that we can do in minor changes to make sure that we're still accommodating all the inmates that we need out at the detention center, we can do with what we have. But if we are going to move into the next 25 years, 30 years, we have got to look at increasing bed space out there at the detention center.
Do you believe, when it comes to the budget, do you believe that county commissioners and yourself have gone through the budget and cut as much as you're able to cut?
I believe so. You know, everybody says, well, you know, there's a lot of fat in the budget, or there's a lot of fluff in the budget. Well, I will tell you, the only fluff that I see in our budget is our parks and clubhouses. And in fact, the tax rate for our clubhouses and parks last year in 2024 was zero. This year, I had three commissioners that increased the tax rate. They increased the tax rate for the clubhouses and parks and decreased the income for the Sheriff's Department and for volunteer fire departments. Now, to me, that was irreprehensible. We should not be cutting public safety in order to fund parks and clubhouses. But that's what happened. And so do we have a conflict on the court? Yeah, because Lubbock County has probably one of the leanest, most conservative, most transparent budgets in the state. In fact, the comptroller tells us that. There are only 13 counties in the entire state that get the comptroller's transparency award. We're one of 13. We have a very lean, very conservative, very fiscally sound budget. This last 2 years of the no new revenue rate has dug into that. And we've had to go into our savings account just to get balanced. And that's ridiculous. We should never have to do that.
And one more question on this, then we'll take the break.
I was going to add one thing. So I've always advocated for keeping the tax rate the same. And this past year, for the average homeowner, the difference between keeping the tax rate the same and passing the no new revenue rate was $2.63 a year for the average homeowner in Lubbock County, $2.63. But with that $2.63, I could fully fund the sheriff's department. I could fully fund our fire departments. I could fully fund our roads. But under the no new revenue rate, we couldn't do that.
So are you saying the sheriff's department is not fully funded?
No. They cut $1.4 million out of the sheriff's department this last budget.
And those were all needs?
It the need for housing inmates, that's where they cut it from. They cut it from inmate housing.
Okay.
Then the fire departments, they cut it out of the critical needs funding.
Right.
So we have funded since 2019, every year, we funded $500,000 a year for our 11 fire departments. And that was cut in half this year because, well, that's what they decided to do. I voted against it.
And you're going to keep, I think it's safe to say, advocating to get to where we need to be as far as spending goes, and not holding to the no new revenue rate. You want to bring more revenue in.
Well, what I want to do is in county government, let's say in state and federal government, there's two committees that look at budgets. Basically, there you've got your Ways and Means Committee and you've got your Appropriations Committee.
Yeah.
At the county level, we're both. We're both Ways and Means and Appropriations. So we look at what are the needs of the county. And so what I want to do, the philosophy that I have as county judge, is I look at what are the needs of this county, not the wants, not the wish list. You can have a wish list. Let's just set that aside for a second.
Yeah.
I want to look at strictly the needs of this county. And then my job then as the county judge and hopefully as the commissioner's court is to raise the revenue necessary to meet the needs. Now, what I do have on my commissioner's court is I've got commissioners that look at ways and means first. And they say, okay, we're going to pass the no new revenue rate come hell or high water. And then we have to adjust the budget based on what the no new revenue rate is.
Yeah.
And that's how you get around to cutting $1.4 million out of your public safety. That's how you get around to cutting $250,000 off your fire departments.
But if the citizens keep wanting that...
If the citizens keep wanting
what the county commissioners have been fighting you on, what does that say to you?
Well, but when they pass a $35 million bond for a brand new ME's office, it says on the ballot, this will raise your property taxes.
Sure.
Should not we honor that with the voters? I mean, that passed overwhelmingly.
Yeah. But that's being built, right?
But how do we pay for it? If we're constantly doing the no new revenue rate, we can't pay for what we've bonded for. It's like we're going out and we're using daddy's credit card, but nobody's paying for it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Let's take the break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Lubbock County Judge Curtis Parrish here on the Chad Hastie Show. Much more to get into when we come back.
The Titan of Texas Talk Radio, The Chad Hastie Show.
Talking with newsmakers and about the issues that matter to you. The Chad Hastie Show, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Chad's show is also digital with The Chad Hastie Show podcast. The Chad Hastie Show podcast can be downloaded on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and the Radio On Demand page on KFYO.com. The Chad Hastie Show, all across Texas during your drive home, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
Nick, this is your phone here in the passenger seat. Look at me.
No, I'm driving.
You got a text. It says, "Yo, dude, your friends are fascinating. Let's text them back."
It can wait.
Sports app. Oh, you gotta see this play.
Later.
Hey, you got invited to a party. We need a RSVP now.
Phone, silence yourself.
Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone.
talk, text, crash.
Every day, right here on News Talk KFYO.
All right, back on the Chad Hastie Show, we have Lubbock County Judge Curtis Parrish running for re-election in the Republican primary, running for re-election, period, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And have you done to get, in what your opinion would be, I guess, caught up or where Lubbock County needs to be? What is that going to take?
Yeah, I think we're well on our way. We've done some good things. You know, when I took office 7 years ago, our medical examiner's office was in complete disarray, and worked really hard to get it reestablished. We finally got to get our autopsies back so that we're doing autopsies here in Lubbock right now, and then asked the voters back in 2023 to walk with us to build a new regional medical examiner's office, which they did. We will be opening that next month, that brand new office, and it will serve not just Lubbock, but it will serve the entire region as well. And so very excited about that. It is a world-class facility, one that's going to serve us for the next 30, 40 years. We're opening up a new TAG office. This is a joint venture between the city, the county, the state, all law enforcement agencies in combating anti-gang task force here in Lubbock. We've got a brand new office, a brand new home for them that will be opened within the next couple of months. I also have a brand new, what we call the Hope Center, and this was a joint venture between the city, the county, the state, in order to build an emergency room for people in mental health crisis, a place where they could go. We call it a diversion center, but it diverts them away from the jail. If I can keep them out of jail and get them the mental health that they need, then we've saved the taxpayers an incredible amount of money. So this is between the city, the state, the county, all working together to serve the people of Lubbock County. And then one thing that I'm extremely proud of, and worked very hard from day one, literally day one of my administration, is getting a new veterans cemetery. And this was very important to me, working with the generals, working with Congressman Arrington, and coming together a coalition of the city, the county, the state, and the federal government to build this. And we will be opening that within the next couple months as well. So very excited about these projects that we've been working on. I want to see them through to fruition. We do have more to do. This upcoming legislative session in 2027, we're going to build probably two brand new courts in Lubbock. You know, we've hadn't had a new district court in Lubbock since 1989. Yep. And we know Lubbock has grown substantially since 1989. So we need another court. And we're going to have to not only get that court created by the legislature, but find a place to house that court. Also coming up in 2031, we are going to have to move all of our JPs out of the courthouse and into the precincts. That means that likely it'll be shallow water. We'll have a JP office located within the shallow water area, within the Wolforth area, Slayton area, Idaloo area. All of that's coming up. We've got a plan for that. We need to plan today because that 20 to 31 is coming fast. And so we got to be ready to go.
A couple of years ago, when I think you were going doing a back and forth with one of the county commissioners, you had infamously said something to the effect, if you don't want to pay more in taxes, move. Do you regret saying that?
Well, if you remember the context of what we were talking about, and again, the only time that I've ever voted to raise the property tax rate was in 2021 when we went to the voters. Otherwise, it's leaving the same. So what I've said that if we leave the tax rate the same and your taxes go up, it's because your evaluation went up. And property tax evaluations and appraisals is nothing. The county is not in control of that. That's LCAD, the Central Appraisal District. So some people, if you leave the tax rate the same, some people's taxes actually go down. Even if you adopt the no new revenue rate, some people's taxes will go up. because we can't do an individual tax rate for each individual property. We can just do a big global tax rate.
Yeah.
And so if, and so this was in the context of, if we keep the tax rate the same and your taxes go up, it's likely that your appraisals went up. Now, you can affect your appraisal rate in a number of different ways, and we talked about the number of different ways. But what was put out is one of the ways is if you wanted to move to a smaller house, you could lower your tax value because you've lowered your appraisal value. If you wanted to contest your appraisal rate, you could do that too. So we went through the litany of things, but what they pulled out was you could move to a smaller house. And that's, so do I regret that? No. We, what we were doing is we were letting people know that if we leave the tax rate the same and your taxes go up, there's a wide variety of reasons why.
Judge Parrish,
the Chad Hastie Show, a presentation of Texas Town Square Media Network. The views and opinions expressed during the Chad Hastie Show are not necessarily the views of this station's staff, management, advertisers, or... Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, news and views with a Lone Star perspective. You can sound off during the show by sending Chad a text at 806-680-2790. That's 806-680-2790. Or call in at 1-800-687-0790. Now, here's Chad Hastie.
All right, welcome back. Chad Hastie Show, and the interviews continue. If you missed either of our interviews from earlier, including with Senator John Cornyn, Lubbock County Judge Curtis Parrish, you can listen to those on the podcast. Tomorrow on the program, it looks like we will have the Chancellor of the Texas Tech University System on the program, Brandon Crichton. So that should be interesting, as he's had a lot to say in the media and a lot to say about education at Texas Tech University. And we'll get to visit with him. It looks like we don't have everything confirmed just yet, but it looks like that'll happen tomorrow at 5:35. Joining us on the phones right now are good friends, Scott Braddock. He's the editor of QuorumReport.com. And Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you this evening?
Doing well, Chad. How are you?
Doing great. What it looks like we're going to start things off. You've got an interview for us.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I wanted to hear direct from primary voters in the GOP primary. You know, I'm here in Houston this evening, where just last night there was a not necessarily a debate, but a forum where three of the attorney general candidates on the GOP side did show up. Congressman Chip Roy was not there. He, of course, had to be in D.C., where Republicans have a razor-thin majority, and so everyone actually has to be on the floor. Get this, Chad. At one point, one of the guys who was there to speak on behalf of Roy pointed out that because of schedules lately, there have been times in recent weeks where there are actually more Democrats on the floor of the U.S. House than there are Republicans, right? Yeah. And so they do actually need people there, so it puts some of these candidates in a spot as far as trying to campaign. But I do have a GOP primary voter here with me who was also in attendance at the forum and was going to ask, you know, his thoughts on this, you know, and I'll share mine as well. But you were there, sir, and you saw three of the candidates. Congressman Roy was not there. But as you watched this exchange, you know, they were talking about various issues. Did any of the issues that they were talking about stand out, you know, whether it was the stuff about Sharia law or taxpayer-funded lobbying or cracking down on immigration reform? As you were listening to it, what really stood out to you?
Well, all I remember is Mays Middleton told me about how he's stopping Sharia law in Texas, and he's also stopping that taxpayer-funded lobbying. But then on the other hand, we also have Aaron Wright coming out and saying Ken Paxton actually endorsed him, and he is a legal warrior. He repeated over and over, and it's a good decision we got to make between the two.
So you think that, based on your answer, that Senator Joan Huffman, who's from here in Houston, almost was a non-factor in the thing? Because you didn't mention her, and she is running, but I heard from some other voters who said that, you know, one of the things they mentioned was she didn't even have push cards on the tables, you know, while all of the other candidates, of course, were handing out their literature and all that. You know, she did say at one point, she made it a point to say, hey, I'm the only woman who's running for this. Did some of that fall flat to you?
She talked about being in the Senate, doing a lot of the Republican work. Basically, she wasn't talking about how she was going to be the Attorney General.
So as far as Wright's talking about the idea that he's worked in these offices, and he repeatedly said to the voters who were there that, hey, you don't have to imagine that I could do these things. Wright's was saying, I have done these things. You think that was landing with people?
Well, he did say he was the one endorsed by Paxton. He's the one that's been to court, and he is the one chosen by President Trump. And I sure heard it.
You also heard the spokesman for Congressman Roy explain the reason that he wasn't there. Did you buy that, or do you think it'd be more important for him to be on the campaign trail talking to voters since this office he's running for is so important?
I'll tell you what. If he wants my vote, he better be there.
All right. Thanks, sir. So you hear that, Chad. Yeah. I mean, there are people who don't necessarily buy that. And I think it does put some of these candidates in kind of a pinch. And I was thinking about the fact that I was watching the debate that on the Democratic side, Congresswoman Crockett's kind of in the same position, right? James Tallarico is going around campaigning for the U.S. Senate nomination on that side, while Crockett also would tell voters that she needs to be in Washington because of the razor-thin majority and some of the things that go on in Washington. The committee meetings they have and all that sort of stuff, that it is a legit reason in the estimation of her and Roy's campaigns that they need to be in D.C. and can't be in Texas as much. But the voters do want to hear from these people. I think here's one of the things that you can take from that interview. A voter might say, hey, I'm not running for this office, but I bothered to show up for this. Why aren't you?
Yeah. That's interesting. Look, I think a lot of the voters, when they hear Aaron Wright speak, I think they really like him because he does sound like that conservative warrior that he's going to, you know, whether you want to kind of put him in the same breath as of a Ted Cruz or a Ken Paxton, I don't know, but it's one of those where he's saying all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I thought was interesting, and I think this was from Mays Middleton, is that Mays Middleton thinks that it's going to be him and Chip Roy at the end of the day going into the runoff. I've heard from others who say Chip Roy is going to be there as well. And Chip Roy is like the least heard from candidate on the campaign trail because of what you just said.
Yeah.
Is that maybe a miscalculation from the lawmakers themselves who think that it's just a, that this is going to be easy for Chip Roy to get into the runoff, or do you think that voters know enough about Chip Roy that it may propel him into the runoff just with name ID alone?
Yeah, there's no question that voters across Texas know who Congressman Roy is. In some ways, he's a national figure, right, because of his role with the Freedom Caucus in the U.S. House and of course, his multiple clashes with President Trump. So, you know, as we've seen on the Democratic side with Congresswoman Crockett's high name ID, which is north of 70% among not just among Democrats, but general election voters. And, of course, that's because President Trump has attacked her multiple times. A lot of times when your name ID is high, that's not necessarily the best thing ever for the candidate, because just like Hillary Clinton, just like in a lot of ways like Vice President Harris, everyone knew who those people were, but they were already defined in the minds of voters. And if voters don't like you, if you're well known, there's not much you can do to change it. And of course, there's the X factor in this race of what will President Trump do. You were mentioning what Senator Cornyn was talking about, and on the AG's race, you have that question as well. And I don't think it's as much of a question about whether President Trump might come out in favor of a certain person, but I think looming over the race is the sense that President Trump could come out against Congressman Roy because of the multiple times that they clashed, including on that terrible day in Washington, the insurrection around January 6th, when, of course, Roy was getting the applause of Democrats as he was speaking in the on the floor of the U.S. House. But I'm told by some of the folks who were close to Congressman Roy that in the background, there's been a lot of work done to try to smooth that over with President Trump, that that Mr. Trump can depend on Congressman Roy at times to help him find the votes he needs for certain things among the Freedom Caucus members. And so the animosity toward Roy that was there before maybe isn't as pronounced now. And so probably the best any of these folks could hope for is that Trump would not insert himself into this race at all.
Well, and I mean, for,
you know what I mean?
For Trump, it may go back to that Politico article where it's, it was basically like, well, Trump's not going to come out against John Cornyn or Cassidy, right, because he still wants his agenda passed. And at the same time, he's not going to end your political career if you don't end his political agenda. He may look at Chip Roy the same way and go, okay, because if he does come out against Chip Roy could just say, all right, well, you don't get anything passed that I'm against then.
Yeah, and the Attorney General's race for the president is a lot lower stakes than a U.S. Senate race.
Yes,
and I think this is fair. It wouldn't be true necessarily true of all Republican candidates, but I do think of those who are running, whether it's Roy or Middleton or Reitz or Senator Huffman, that for the most part, probably 99% of the time, which, of course, is the case with Senator Cornyn also, that the AG's office in Texas is going to be cooperative with the Trump administration and not adversarial, on the whole. So it probably isn't one that he's going to jump into.
All right. I've got to ask you, you sent out
of course, I say all that, and then he might do it anyway.
You exactly.
I'll watch Truth Social about that.
You sent out a tweet a few hours ago. I retweeted it. The race for Fort Bend County Judge. Let's talk about how much money you need to raise in order to run for office in the great state of Texas, folks. In the race for Fort Bend County Judge, Dexter McCoy, I believe is the gentleman's name, has crossed the $1 million fundraising mark. Scott, for a county judge race, is that crazy? Am I nuts here? But that sounds a little crazy to me.
I would say maybe you're not wrong to say it. I would say that. I would say that it is significant, and it is a sign of, number one, the growth of Fort Bend County, with so many people living there now, one of the largest counties in the state population-wise, but also the fact that these races just cost more than they used to. And so Commissioner McCoy was able to put together so far $1 million. This is a candidate who comes more from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. Also this speaks to the kind of politics we're seeing in our suburban districts, in our suburban counties, like Fort Bend, like Collin, like Denton County, et cetera. It's an eye-popping number, and I think it speaks to just how expensive politics is at the state, federal, and local level. But it also speaks to just how energized, I would say this too, just objectively, it also speaks to how energized the Democratic Party is this year, when you have a county judge candidate in a place like Fort Bend able to put that kind of a fundraising haul together. Nothing to sneeze at that $1 million has come in for that so far. And we'll see what the other candidates do.
I mean, I'm just saying, you've got candidates
right,
who are running.
Said, wow.
You've got candidates who are running for governor who are not going to finish anywhere
right.
close to Greg Abbott.
That's right.
But they're officially candidates running, and they're acting like they're candidates, sort of, and they won't raise $1 million for
That's
their
right.
not anywhere close to $1 million.
Absolutely. I think it also maybe speaks to the the realism among some of the Democrats, at least in that part of the state, and probably some other places too, where they probably know that people who would be contributing to those candidates know that some of their better shots to win some of those campaigns is at the local level where they can really make that kind of a difference. And, of course, remember the other things that are going on in Fort Bend County. They had, a county judge who got indicted. I won't get into all the details, but he was a Democrat. He switched to the Republican Party and, is running down there. And so there's a lot of folks who, are very invested in seeing a change in that area.
Yeah. Scott, before I let you go, any news out of the Tallarico campaign? I know they're on social media going, wow, look at our numbers in Collin County and stuff like that. But any real news out of that campaign?
I expect some news from them tomorrow. Here, how's this for a tease? WatchQuorumReport.com. I expect an announcement from them that has to do with someone he's not running against, but somebody he's going to heavily criticize. And we'll get into it tomorrow at QR.
Very interesting. All right, Scott, as always, appreciate your time. Good to hear from you. Tell folks what else they can find over at QuorumReport.com.
If they click on that free sign-up button, we will get you going. And, of course, you want to be a listener at Quorum Report Radio, our new podcast that was started late last year and did move to Fridays. If you click on the links there at QuorumReport.com, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or however you listen to your podcast. It's available on all those apps. It's all at QuorumReport.com.
Very good, Scott. As always, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you. That's Scott Braddock, editor of Quorum Report. .com. We'll be right back.
The Chad Hastie Show can be heard all over West Texas. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Tune into News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO in Lubbock. News Talk 940 in Amarillo. News Talk 94.7 and 1470 KYYW in Abilene. And in Wichita Falls on News Talk 96.3 and 1290. The Chad Hastie Show. Make it a part of your drive home. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
When you see a car that's been in a bad crash, it's no accident. When it backs traffic up for miles, no accident. And if there's a fatality involved, somebody died. That's no accident either. A lot of the time, it was speeding. And it's no accident that speeding is a factor in more than 150,000 crashes every year in Texas, many of them fatal. So slow down. Be safe.
The Chad Hastie Show. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Well, the rest of the way, the show's up to you. What do you want to get into the last half hour or so? Some interesting headlines out there today. Verizon mysteriously going down, the Verizon network. I'm not sure if Verizon phones are back up or not, but for the longest time, Verizon phones and internet service was down. The airspace over Iran has been shut down. If you look at air traffic over Iran, there's nothing over the country right now. Some putting the poly markets, putting the chances of a U.S. strike on Iran at 51% tonight. Some say that within the next 24 hours, a strike could happen where the U.S. Could fire missiles. U.S. military intervention in Iran may begin within the next 24 hours, according to European officials. Reuters reporting that an unnamed Israeli official said it's also appeared as though President Donald Trump has decided to intervene, though the scope and timing remains unclear. The United States is withdrawing personnel from key bases in the region as a precaution amid heightened regional tensions. The disclosure follows remarks by a senior Iranian official who told Reuters earlier Wednesday that Tehran had warned neighbors hosting U.S. troops that it would hit American bases if Washington strikes. The British also withdrawing some personnel from an airbase in Qatar ahead of possible strikes by the U.S., the newspaper reported on Wednesday. Polish citizens should leave Iran immediately, the Polish Foreign Ministry said on Wednesday. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs urging immediate departure from Iran and advises against all travel to the country. So you've got action going on. You've got things happening around Iran. You've got military building up. And this would be in support of the protesters that are out there. It's been At least it's been claimed that around 1,200 protesters, maybe more than that, have been killed by the government. Let's see. One texter says, Verizon seems to be up now. Says, husband could not text for most of the afternoon. Now he can, so we think it's back up and running. That was a major outage today. You had Verizon go down at times. You had issues on the on the big, I guess you could say, the big three cell phone networks. Verizon having the most problems. And it shows you just how, you know, how much we've got to have our, got to have that phone, got to have that way of communicating with others. If it goes down, it's not good. You know, it's bad for business, bad for, you know, personal reasons. Obviously, I was thinking about this earlier today. Those who want to move to this cashless society, what happens when your cell network goes down? And you want to go buy some food, and you're like, I'll just pay with my phone. And you get up there, and there's no cell service. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do at that point? 806-680-2790. That's 806-680-2790. I want to thank again Curtis Parrish for stopping by. We'll visit with him again as the primary continues. Same with John Cornyn. I'm sure we'll get Wesley Hunt back on the show. Hopefully we'll get Ken Paxton on the program at some point. I don't know. Paxton's not been doing a lot. So we'll see. Maybe he'll get on the show and talk to us about a few things. Mark in California says, after listening to interviews, Hunt sounds like the guy. Hope he sticks to it and pushes Paxton. When we come back, we'll get into some other news stories of the day. Your phone calls, your text, and more here on the Chad HD Show.
The Chad Hasty Show, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. Sound off during the show by sending Chad a text at 806-680-2790.
Pedal to the metal. Greased lightning. Burn rubber. Make tracks. Full gas. Whatever you call it, it's speeding. And a heavy foot can cost you a heavy fine. Or more. Speeding is a factor in more than 150,000 crashes every year in Texas. Many of them fatal. Slow down, be safe, drive smart, and take it easy. A message from the Texas Department of Transportation.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's the Chad Hasty Show.
on the Chad Eastie Show. Thank you very much for tuning in today. You can send in your thoughts on the text line, 806-680-2790. That's 806-680-2790. You can weigh in, sound off on anything that that you'd like to discuss, get into, sound off on. One texter says, let's see, Kendra says, I feel like we need to shake things up. I think Hunt, maybe a good change of pace. That from Kendra in Lubbock. I think he would definitely shake things up. Sure. Absolutely. How about, did you see this earlier today? Out of CBS News. Now, if you were someone who was a low information voter, got your news from TikTok, or maybe you got your news from ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, you were one of the bleeding hearts out there, you were just, oh my goodness, this ICE officer, he opened fire on this woman who was just trying to drive, and she was just trying to drive away from him, and he shot her. You know, that's what we keep hearing. That's what the news narrative has been. You've had people protesting ICE, calling the ICE agent a killer. CBS News out earlier today, breaking news. The ICE agent who fatally shot Renee Good on January 7th in Minneapolis, his name is Jonathan Ross, suffered internal bleeding to the torso following the incident. Oh. Almost like he was, I don't know, hit by a vehicle. And, you know, internal bleeding, like, that's not something where if you just get tapped by a vehicle. I mean, you gotta get hit pretty hard in order for there to be internal damage and bleeding to the torso. But, of course, to those, you know, we were told, reliably told by those on the left that this officer, he wasn't hit. He didn't get hit. He was well out of the way. He should have just, you know, told the lady to have a nice day and drive, you know, let her be. No, she drove into him. Sounds like did some damage as well, by the way. And if the report is accurate, which I have no reason to believe it's not, if the report is accurate and the video has been accurate, then it shows that, yes, he acted in a correct way. I don't think any of you would want to get hit to the point where you had internal bleeding. I don't think any of you want to go through that. And if someone did hit you with their vehicle that caused that much damage, you may want to shoot them too. They may not be looking out for your best interest. In fact, they may be using that vehicle to try and kill you. 806-680-2790. Of course, you can give us a call, 1-800-687-0790. You know, we've gone so far. We have not even said hi. We have not had a chance yet to say hi to the first voice you hear from when you dial in today. He's going through his mid-show snack right now. Maybe he's kind of wrapping it up because it's been so late in the show. Nick, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's what, over three quarters?
Yeah, it's 6:40.
Yeah, I'm slacking.
It's over. You know, I mean, the show's basically over at this point.
Like, do I really need the snack at this point? Yeah, we've just had such a busy show. You know, I unfortunately, I had to do some work instead. So
yeah, that happens.
Couldn't do my daily snack.
That happens.
Because I don't even know what's for dinner. Tonight, it's one of those days. I don't know. So maybe I need the snack.
You just get home and You get home and tell the wife, hey, what'd you cook?
Yeah, I tell the wife, what'd you cook for me?
Hey, sweetheart.
Yeah, that goes well.
What'd you cook? Yeah. What are you cooking right now?
Yeah. Let's see. I have...
Let me put my slippers on.
And robe.
Yeah.
And my robe.
You got it.
Yeah. We have some leftovers. Yeah, it's probably...
Is it leftover night?
I was going to say. Yeah. If I had to bet, I'm thinking it's leftover night, which is not bad.
I have to admit something.
Please.
And I kind of feel bad now. I had something for the first time today.
Food?
I had a restaurant. I went to to this establishment for the first time today.
Sure.
Jersey Mike's.
Oh, name dropping. Okay.
Yeah, I'll name drop them. Yeah, I don't care. All right, it's all cool. Right. If it's good enough for Danny DeVito and good enough for Eli Manning, it's good enough for Chad Hastie.
I don't know what any of that means.
I understand.
Okay.
One's a former quarterback of the NFL. One's an actor.
Thanks. I cleared it up.
Yeah.
So it was a positive, I imagine.
It was fantastic.
All right.
I had the Philly cheesesteak.
I was going to ask, yeah.
Oh, it was so good. I don't know why. I just never think about them for whatever reason. Sorry, Jersey Mike's.
No. Sorry,
but I never think about them.
Yeah. Well, there's other sandwich places.
There's a ton of sandwich places.
Exactly. There's so often, you know, you're thinking of all the options.
I am.
And it gets buried.
It gets buried.
Exactly.
And mainly because I don't live near one.
Sure.
And the one that's closest to here, you gotta be in that area. You know, pretty much, okay?
Yeah.
It's not just, let's go down the street to so-and-so.
Yeah, to Mike's. We'll go to Mike's.
And so I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to – I saw Jersey Mike's. I went, you know what? I've been meaning to try it.
So
It was fantastic.
First time ever.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You've never had Jersey
Mike's?
I've
never had Jersey Mike's before.
Interesting. I think the last time I had it
– Yeah.
Had to have been close to 10 years. It has been quite a few years.
Did you not like it, or are you kind of in the same boat of you just don't think about it?
You just don't think about it.
Yeah.
There's many places, many restaurants that people love.
Yeah.
And they recommend. I'm like, I've just never been. I just never had the
Yeah, and I'm eating the sandwich in my office today, and I close the door because I don't want to be bothered.
That's what I do.
Yeah. And so I close the door. I'm just having the same time. I'm sitting there going, why have I not had this before?
No.
What is wrong with me?
And you know what's great? You can go back again, try a different sandwich.
Oh, I could.
See what,
or get the same one again.
That too. You can always do that. See if it's just as good as before. That surprises me, though. I didn't.
I know. Me too.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, because I like sandwiches. Sandwiches are good.
My favorite foods.
But it's one of those where I don't know. I just never really thought about it.
Is the cheesesteak your go-to?
No.
Really?
No, it's not my go-to.
Don't tell me it's the meatball.
No, meatball, it's so. Just, I'd love to sit here and tell you that I have a go-to, but I really don't. I kind of bounce around when it comes to sandwiches.
I'm always, if there's an Italian sandwich, that is me. Or you know what? Recently I've been into the chicken, There's a place.
A
I
chicken
won't name
chicken.
It, but the chicken, there's some ranch on it, and it's some
a
bacon.
Chicken ranch sandwich?
There's some bacon. There's more than chicken and ranch.
Okay.
But yeah, it's delicious. So I've been, shopping around for sandwiches.
You've been shopping around for sandwiches. I've been on a sandwich kick. I got to be honest, since we went and visited with my parents, and we went to a little sandwich shop. And I got it was like a grown-up grilled cheese. So it was, kind of, but it had like different cheeses on it, some bacon.
Okay.
And it was just, it was so good.
Yeah.
And then I went, okay, I'm going to get another sandwich somewhere else. Got a sandwich. It's just, so I've been on a sandwich kick.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I'm trying to figure out my go-to sandwich.
You're discovering yourself.
Yeah,
it's
I guess
beautiful
so.
Time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The meatball subs or the meatball sandwiches, those are fantastic. Those are good. I've had it.
You like those?
Yeah, I've had it. It's good to me.
Is
it too much to you?
It's just the flavor is over. Is ruined by the messiness.
You can't, I don't care about that.
You can't eat a meatball sub and go, well, all right, my hands are clean.
You can't eat a meatball, like if you're driving and trying to eat a meatball sub.
It's a sit down.
It is.
This is what you're going to be doing for the next 10 minutes type of.
Let me tell you, even the Philly cheesesteak that I got.
No.
That was one where you need to be sitting down.
You got a plan for those.
Yeah. But it was, no, it was good. It was a tip of the cap to Jersey Mike's out there. Just nice, a nice little shout out. I don't know if it's going to be my official sandwich spot. I don't know. I'm trying to look for it, and I'm trying to figure out what my go-to sandwich will be. I have an idea, but, I gotta figure it all out. 806-680-2790. When we come back, we'll begin to wrap things up. Your phone calls, your text, and more.
The Titan of Texas Talk Radio. The Chad Hastie Show.
Talking with newsmakers and about the issues that matter to you. The Chad Hastie Show, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Chad's show is also digital with the Chad Hastie Show podcast. The Chad Hastie Show podcast can be downloaded on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and the Radio On Demand page on KFYO.com. The Chad Hastie Show, all across Texas during your drive home, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Tune in to Shooter.
Chad Hastie Show. Thank you very much for tuning in today. You can send in your thoughts on the text line 806-680-2790. That's 806-680-2790. Weigh in on anything that we've talked about as we begin to wrap things up. Don't forget that we'll have your podcast up and ready for you to listen to. If you missed any of today's interviews that we had, you can listen to those on the podcast. Available after the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Tomorrow, it looks like we'll get to visit with Texas Tech Chancellor Brandon Triton on the show. Looking forward to that interview and hearing from him on the future of the Texas Tech University system and really just higher ed altogether in Texas. And so we'll visit with him, it looks like, coming up tomorrow. So still trying to nail down that time and everything else, but should happen tomorrow. Also, the good folks over at the Texan News will join us. We'll have them back on for the first time this year. We'll have them on the program. So a lot going on tomorrow, and who knows? We might be talking about U.S. strikes on Iran. As just looking through some of the different tweets and social media posts and the news that's out there, and some people who I trust and follow or releasing information. It's you've got Iranian airspace, which has been cleared. You have countries on alert, including Israel, on alert starting tonight and maybe over the next 24 hours. Wondering what exactly is going to happen. There are reports of jets flying over northern Iraq right now. Northern and eastern Iraq, at least according to some of the different reports that they're out there. Not, that doesn't mean, doesn't guarantee that there's going to be military strikes tonight or airstrikes on Iran, but it could happen. And what does that mean moving forward? For the protesters who are protesting their government, the Iranian government. I mean, when this happened during the Obama administration, the Obama administration told protesters, we're here with you, and then didn't do anything as the Iranian government went in and killed people. Just absolutely murdered citizens for protesting their government. Now you have the U.S. possibly going in to help the protesters. Not that the U.S. is going to be doing regime change. Not that the U.S. is going to be going in and sending boots on the ground into Iran. But maybe trying to hit critical supplies for the Iranian military and those who have been carrying out these murders against their citizens. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Stay safe. Stay healthy. God bless you all. We'll see you back here tomorrow for a Thursday edition of the Chad Hasty Show.
The Chad Hasty Show, a presentation of Texas Town Square Media Network. The views and opinions expressed during the Chad Hasty Show are not necessarily the views of this station's staff, management, advertisers, or Town Square Media.